Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I'm glad you came in today. I'll tell you, I'm Tammy Bays, and I'm a counselor here at the Mental Health Center. And I know that you had a little contact with us like before you come in, and you met with someone and answered a bunch of questions, and I'm really thankful that you were willing to come in and meet with me after all that.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. I guess... Basically, so you know, even though you answered all those questions with somebody, I really don't know much about you. I'm not even sure about your name or any specifics about you, so what would help me, if it's okay with you, is just to kind of, if you could tell me what brought you here.
Well, first, my name's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
And, hi. I guess they wanted me to come in and talk to somebody. Social services, I guess, thinks that there might be a problem with, like, me and my kids for some reason, and they just wanted me to come in and talk to somebody, I guess, to make sure it's okay.
Okay. Someone at social services sent you here to talk with me. Well, I appreciate you coming in. I know it's not a very easy step to have someone tell you to come to a place like this, so can you tell me a little more about what's going on? Help me understand.
Well, they think that some of the stuff I do is endangering my kids. I have two little girls, and that there's some things that I do when I'm not at home that they think might be endangering my kids when I am home. So I guess they just want to make sure that I'm not going to hurt my kids or, like, abandon them or something.
So someone at social services is worried about some things that might be going on, and they sent you here.
Yeah.
Tell me a little about your two daughters, just their ages, or...
Well, their names are Marisol and Emma.
Okay.
And Marisol's 10, and Emma's 7.
Oh.
And they're the love of my life.
They sound cute.
Yeah.
Sounds like your girls are really important to you.
They are. They're the most important thing to me. So, if it's important that I'm here to be able to make sure that our family stays together and that, you know, everybody knows that we're okay, three of us together, then, you know, I'll do what I have to do.
What a great attitude. I mean, I know it's tough that when someone sends you to a place like this and it might not be something that you would have chosen to do on your own, it's not easy to come in and open up to somebody you don't know.
No, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I'll bet it's weird. So yeah. I'm impressed that you were able to come in and have such a good attitude about this, because not everybody comes in can have a real positive attitude about it.
I just want to do what I need to do to you know, help my kids and help our family stick together.
Good for you. Your family's really important to you. Well, I know that sometimes when social services send people here, it's for a lot of different reasons. It's usually for something that's going on outside the home. Or can you give me a little bit more information, or tell me a little bit more about what it is that they're concerned about?
Well, I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I'm not married anymore.
Okay.
My daughter's father, we split up a couple years ago.
I'm sorry.
You know, well, you know, sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
Because marriages don't stick or whatever.
True.
But, you know, now that I broke up with him, I am able to, like, have more freedom, because he kind of made me stay at home a lot with the kids. And he went out and had a good time, and I had to stay home with the kids a lot. He didn't really help. But, you know, now that he's gone, yeah, I'm able to do some more things that I wanted to do. And so I go out more now than I used to.
Sounds like that was a rough situation.
Yeah.
And you made some decisions to make things better for yourself.
Right. And, you know, some of that was, you know, sometimes you need to have fun, and I never really got to have any fun. He would go out and have a good time, and I'd stay home with the kids. That was kind of the thing we would do at night, you know, on weekends and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I have a job, too. I work hard, and I should be able to have fun, you know. So now I go out to parties sometimes, and my boyfriend has a lot of friends, and we go and party with them. And my mom watches my girls. It's not like, you know, I'm leaving them home alone or anything.
You make sure that they're taken care of.
Yeah, and you know, if they need to spend the night with my mom, it's not a big deal. And she loves them, and they're her grandkids, you know, and she likes taking care of them. And they like spending time with her. So it's that's a good thing that she you know, can help, and they love her.
Sounds like they have a good time together.
Yeah, they do. They do. And so, you know, I go out, my boyfriend and I, you know, we've been together a couple of years, and we don't know if we're going to get married, but I go out and we party, and party at his friend's house, and, you know, sometimes we just drink, and sometimes there's other stuff there that, you know, I've tried a couple times.
Okay. So on the one hand, you make these great arrangements for your kids, and you have a plan, and so basically it sounds like you're not all that concerned about your girl's safety.
Yeah,
you're not
paying
for them. But on the other hand, some other people have concerns about them. Can you tell me a little bit more about their concerns?
I guess they worry that I just go out, maybe they think too much.
Okay.
Or that I'm not at home with my kids enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that I'll bring the party home or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. maybe they're worried that I'll bring the party to our house one time. And I would never do that around my kids.
Okay.
I wouldn't have people drinking and stuff around them. You know, that's part of my life. That's not part of our life as a family.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of what I do outside. You know, my boyfriend and I, we have a good time with our friends. But that's that. And then when I'm home, I'm a mom.
Okay. This partying thing is something that happens outside of your family, and it doesn't really have a direct impact on your girls.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
I guess other people think it does, but I don't think it does.
What other people?
I don't know, like the teachers that asked me about it, you know, and you know, maybe, I don't know if my girls are mentioning maybe friends that I've gone out with in school, and they don't know who they are, so they ask. And maybe my kids have said, oh, Mommy hangs out with them sometimes.
Okay. So even though you always make plans for your girls and make sure they have a safe place, you're wondering if maybe your girls have said something to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, kids are really sharp and they listen.
Kids are very smart.
They remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
And names and, you know, maybe they hear the word party.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
that makes the teachers worry because they don't want to hear about someone's mom partying.
Okay.
You know, if it was just going out mm-hmm. on a date, maybe that wouldn't worry them.
You go and you drink sometimes and you try to do things,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't get real wild and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, and I never like drank drunk or anything.
You've never had any legal charges related to this? Mm-hmm. This is the first big time that somebody's questioned?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I want to make sure that I understand. I just want to kind of summarize for a second. It sounds like maybe what happened is that your kids went to school and talked about some of the stuff that's, which is kind of a new thing for you, going out partying on the weekends, and maybe a teacher was concerned and talked to social services, and they have some concerns. And even though you don't see it as a big problem, you want to come here and do what you need to do to put their minds at ease
right.
and make sure that everything's okay.
Exactly.
It's really important for you to stay with your kids and be an intact family.
Yeah, it's the most important thing.
Okay. It sounds like the teachers may have had some concerns, or social services may have had some concerns. Tell me a little bit more about your concerns.
I'm just concerned that people don't know what I'm actually doing. Like, they think I'm being irresponsible. Maybe they think I'm being a bad mother.
They might think that you're doing a lot more than you are doing.
Yeah.
Tell me your version. Tell me what's sort of going on then. Because it sounds like a lot of people have a lot of ideas about what might be going on. I'm more concerned with your interpretation of what's going on. Tell me what the parties are like. Tell me what's going on.
Well, I mean, they're just parties. They're just people sitting around talking and, you know, having a few drinks. And if somebody brings something else, we can all share it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not like anybody's, you know, like going crazy and breaking stuff and getting the cops called.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're adults and we have a good time. And yeah, I mean, I know it's not all like legal and whatever, but it's in somebody's house. We're not hurting anybody. We're not going out, you know, vandalizing or driving drunk and killing ourselves or other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't see it's that big a deal that we're partying in someone's house and we go home.
Things aren't getting out of control.
No.
Things aren't getting to a point where you might be as worried as other people are about all
right.
But on the one hand, you're worried enough about the prospect of losing your girls that you're willing to come here and talk about
it. Absolutely.
Okay.
I want to clear it up. I want people to understand what's actually happening instead of what they're afraid is going to happen.
People are really overreacting to this.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned a couple of times, Karen, other staff, other drugs. I'm curious. Tell me about what you've tried, what you've used there, whether or not it's been a problem for you, just to help me understand.
Well, I mean, sometimes there's pot,
okay.
And, it's usually, like, the first thing that people have. It's the thing that people have most often, or the first thing that somebody pulls out.
Yeah. Sometimes you drink, sometimes you smoke pot.
Yeah.
And,
you know, it helps everyone just chill out. And, I mean, there's been, somebody brought ecstasy one time. I didn't really like it. So I only tried that once. You know, I think that's, like, for college kids.
E wasn't your thing.
No, it wasn't my thing. Like, people do that in clubs and they get really crazy and dance all weird. And I don't know. I'm not interested. I didn't like how it made me feel.
Okay.
So I didn't do it again.
Okay.
There's been some cocaine a few times. I've tried that a few times. But it's just something, just another thing to do at the party.
It's just something that you've tried. It hasn't been a problem for you.
I don't think so.
Tell me about any concerns that your boyfriend might have about this partying or your use or what's going on with social services right now.
Well, I mean, he's worried that my kids would be taken away too because, you know, maybe we'll want to get married someday.
Right.
And he loves my girls and they like him, you know. He doesn't come over to our house a whole lot, but, you know, they like him.
He's not there all the time. No. He cares a lot about him.
Yeah.
This isn't the kind of thing that you'd want your family split up over.
No, not at all. But I mean, I do love him, and he loves me, and he'd be willing to be a good dad to my girls.
Okay. Tell me about his views.
I have only been with him for a couple of years, so I don't know, like, whatever he does, but,
He parties with you.
Yeah. You know, and he has a good job, and he has a lot of friends, you know, so sometimes he brings stuff.
Okay.
You know, sometimes he's the one that brings stuff.
What's that like for you?
It's like if any of our friends brought it.
Okay.
You know, it's just another person sharing what they have. Uh-huh. Just to help the party along.
Okay. That doesn't bother you that he brings stuff?
Okay. Not really. I mean, that's his business if he, you know, wants to. He hasn't lost his job over it or anything.
Sounds like you two have, you're not exactly sure where your relationship would go, but you're talking about the future a little.
Yeah.
You're saying, you know, if we wanted to get married, we wouldn't want this kind of thing to split our kids up. He cares about my kids. It sounds like you're future oriented.
I'd like to have a father for my girls again, because their dad is just not really, he doesn't seem to care anymore.
You'd like to get remarried one day.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And keep your family together. Mm-hmm. With someone like your boyfriend who likes them and they like him.
Yeah, Jeff loves them. Really good with them, and they like, you know, go to McDonald's with him and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you two are using, he doesn't have a lot of concerns about your use, you're not all that worried about it. This is something that you've done, it's been a change in lifestyle for you, but it's not something you feel like is getting out of hand. But on the other hand, now you have these people in your life, and they're telling you, I'm worried about this, we need to take a look at this, I'm worried about your kids. That must be really frightening for you.
It is. It's like they're looking at me like I'm a monster or something, and I'm just living my life, you know, the way I want to live it. I'm a grown-up. I know what I'm doing.
You're doing the best you can.
Yeah, I'm doing the best I can. It's not easy being a single mom. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you gotta go out and party.
Being a single mom's really tough. You're working really hard to do a good job.
I am.
So, this partying from on the weekends is kind of a nice release for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's better than other things people do, you know? It's better than taking out any problems I have on my kids.
Right.
You know, or I don't use drugs at home.
Right. Never. You have lines that you don't want to cross. Exactly. You don't want to bring that into your house. And at this point, it hasn't.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some people who are worried that it might go there.
But
how about your mom? Tell me about her. Now, I know some people have concerns. You and your boyfriend don't. Tell me about her concerns or what she knows.
She really asks a lot. She really just asks about what my kids are doing. I don't know. It seems sometimes like she's more interested in them than me. Because she just loves them and is kind of, I guess, really interested in her grandkids, and I'm kind of a way for her to see them. We don't really get along that great, but
we've
gotten a little closer since she's been willing to, you know, help me out.
Okay.
Since Carlos and I split up.
Okay.
She's willing to help us, and that's kind of, we're coming together little by little.
Sounds like you're really trying to work on a relationship with your mom, too.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. You've got a lot of good things in the works for yourself. And you have some good plans. You're trying to reconnect with your mom. Sounds like, you know, you feel like her focus is more on your kids.
Yeah, it is.
What's that like for you?
I feel a little mad at her sometimes because, you know, I was her kid first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, I don't really think it's going to change it. You know, I'm 28 now. It's not like I could change, you know, the last 10 years of her or whatever.
You would like for her to be more interested in the things that you're doing.
Yeah.
It's frustrating sometimes that she's not, but on the other hand, you kind of accept where your relationship mm-hmm. is now and hope that things will get better.
Yeah, I hope it gets better.
He's like, it's hard at 28 to change all the things she's been mad about mm-hmm. over the past couple of years. Tell me more about what that is.
Well, I got pregnant with Marisol when I was in high school.
Okay.
I was 18.
Okay.
And
you've had a really tough time
mm-hmm.
over the past 10 years.
I tried my best.
Yeah.
She didn't like that I was with Carlos in high school. He's Puerto Rican, and she's like, why are you with, you know, a dirty spick, or whatever she called him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just was like, well, if you can't accept who I love, then forget it.
Yeah. She's judged you some over the
mm-hmm.
past. But you have to be who you are.
Yeah. Okay. And you can't help who you love, you know, if you fall in love with somebody, especially high school, and you're together a lot.
Love is tricky.
Yeah. And, you know, I got pregnant, and that was it. And we got married, and I think she should have been kind of happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were kids, but we were trying to make a family.
You wanted to recognize how responsible you believe, but in some ways, even though in other ways, it's been tough for you and a struggle.
I kept my kids.
Your kids are really important to you. You know, one thing I really like about you, just talking with you for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so, is that it's really important that you're your own person.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize that if people are concerned, you have to do what you have to do to keep your kids. But your focus is really on them and on being who you are and on having the kind of life that you want.
Yeah.
You seem really driven to do that.
That's, I just want really to leave me alone and let me live and be a mom.
I hear you.
That's it. That's all I want.
You hit bumps in the road, but you handle them as they come up.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're going to handle this one, too.
I think so.
Probably just like you handled everything else that's been going on.
Yeah. You know, and I'm still here, you know. It's not like none of it's killed me, and I'm still here.
You seem very strong.
Try.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're coming here to do what you need to do for social services to sort of clear this
mm-hmm.
misunderstanding about you or clear this concern up. A lot of people do, Karen, get sent to me, they're ordered in some way, or maybe not ordered by the court, but referred here, and sometimes what I'll say to them is, you know, I know you're ordered here, you don't necessarily want to be here, but sometimes while you're here, there could be something that you want to talk about or work on or focus on. We don't have to get to that now, but I'm wondering before we kind of get started on something else, I know, again, you've been sent here, but is there anything sort of, tell me about what you might want to talk about while you're here, or what you might want to focus on. It may just be to clear your record with these people. I don't know. So.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like with the drugs that I have tried, it seems like I like cocaine the best.
Okay.
That is.
Okay. So one thing that comes to mind, like even though you're being sent here, one thing that sort of you're thinking about or concerned about is, why do I like this drug?
Yeah.
There are other stuff I've tried, but tell me what you mean.
I don't want it to be like something I can't live without. And I don't do it that much, but it seems like I want to do it.
Okay. Right now, it hasn't been a problem for you. Other than the social services referral, that could have been about anything that you were using or just the party. But on the other hand, you're wondering, is this going to be a problem for me?
Yeah, because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I want to do it more.
That concerns you.
Yeah.
Concerns you where you might be 6 months from now, a year from now. It sort of continues.
Yeah. Because I don't know, if it's not at a party, would I, you know, am I going to be asking somebody for it? And I won't pressure my boyfriend for stuff.
When he brings it to the party like any other friend, it's cool. You don't want to get to a point in your relationship where you're looking at him to, like, supply you.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's not cool, and then that puts pressure on him for something that really shouldn't be that important.
True. That's what you mean. So again, on the one hand, as far as social services is concerned, this may not be a big deal. But on the other hand, okay, maybe it's something that you want to take a look at while you're here. And I appreciate your honesty, because that's sort of what happens sometimes during this process. People are forced into this, or they're referred, and it's not comfortable, but somewhere along the way, they try to learn something about themselves or take a look at something, and that's kind of what I'd like for you to do today, if we get to that, but no pressure. No
but
way.
I don't want you, like, telling social services that I have a problem with it, because
okay.
I don't think I have a problem with it.
Okay. So, if I were to tell them anything, it would be that, look, Karen doesn't see a problem with this.
Yeah.
This is one of those things, I'm glad you brought it up. Sometimes when social services refers people here, it gets confusing in terms of what they want to know and what they don't. So let's make sure before you leave today that we're really clear about that. We can talk a little bit about it now if you're concerned about the kind of information you would get. Would that make you comfortable?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to hear.
Okay. Did they give you any idea of what they were looking for?
It just seemed like they were really scared for my kids. Like, they were really scared what's going to happen to them and what's happening to them right now and if, you know, I'm doing stuff that's going to hurt them.
Okay. One thing, and this might be actually you've come here because of them, but you acknowledge that maybe there's something I need to look at, but not a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so this might be a nice transition, kind of what I could transition to now. It might be a little different than how we've been talking. When you come here, we open your case, even if you're never going to be a client here again. So I'm going to ask you some questions that are going to seem like, oh my gosh, this woman's opening my case, I'm going to be stuck here in counseling for the next 2 years. It's not like that at all. Any contact that we have with a client, we have to open up a case. I may close it the next day if you're not interested, but if it's okay with you, this might be a good time then to talk about, okay, what's the kind of information that social services is looking for? What kind of information does this woman need to make this kind of assessment? Would it be okay if we kind of switched gears a little?
Okay.
Okay. Well, before I ask you these questions that I kind of have to do to open up your case here at the agency, I want to talk to you a little bit about the social services issue because it's a huge issue. And when people come in, it's unsettling.
Yeah.
And I want to honor that with you because I wouldn't want to come and talk to somebody, and so I'm really impressed that you were willing to do that. Typically, the kind of stuff that, that social services might want to know, and this is going to be up to you because you choose whether or not you would sign a release of information to share this information. Now, if they're asking you to do it, there's sort of an understanding that you're willing to give them the information, but that, Karen, is really up to you.
Okay.
You and I can sign a release if that's something you want to do, or you can think about it, to let me know what kind of information you want them to know. The kind of thing they're usually looking for is there a glaring problem that we really need to look at? They want to know if you would, say, have a diagnosis of substance addiction, but you can choose whether or not you want them to have that information. It could be that all you want me to tell them is, hey, she came here for an assessment, she was compliant and cooperative, and she completed it. So a lot of this, Karen, is really going to be up to you in terms of what information they get.
Okay.
You know, they could pressure you for more or whatever. I can't guarantee that. There are some cases where they can subpoena my records. I'm being upfront with you about that. I'm not pleased with that. It doesn't happen very often. In fact, it almost never happens. And if they do, they don't get the information. Only the attorneys get it.
Okay.
But that's something you need to know, and I want to be upfront with you about that. I tell them what I need to tell them to sort of give them the information they need or what you're willing to give me. But there is a case that, you know, there's a chance that they could subpoena your records, and I think you need to know that.
Okay.
Again, it doesn't happen very often. They're more concerned with you coming and doing the assessment. And what happens after that is really up to you and me, not up to them.
Why would you get a lawyer?
That's an excellent question. Kind of scary to think about that, isn't it?
Yeah.
But kind of, if they were concerned, like if you said, no way, she can't have this information, forget it, I don't want any of these social workers to know anything about me, my guess is that you probably wouldn't take that approach since you already walked through the door.
Yeah.
But if you choose to, that might be a case where they get concerned and they try to court order some records. That's the only scenario I could think of where they would do that. They're going to be really impressed from my perspective, just like I am, that you came in and you're willing to talk to me. Okay. That's just my impression, that I don't want to mislead you in any way and have you think that they're not going to want to know anything. Does that answer it? It's a sticky area.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how would you feel about signing a release? What kind of information would you want me to share with them?
Just that I have a separation between how my life was lived at home with my kids and outside with my friends.
You want them to understand that this isn't going on around your kids.
Right. Okay.
Even though you acknowledge that at some point, you wonder if it could progress, it's not now, and it's not around your kids.
They're not planning on it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I want them to be safe. I want them to know a safe life and a life where they don't have to be afraid of the police showing up.
I understand. You want to be a good mom. This isn't something that you want to get out of hand.
Right.
Well, let me show you the release. How about that? That might answer it for you. And I think I have it in this packet here with all this paperwork. Here's kind of what it looks like, Karen. It, you basically fill in the names of, like, who would the information go to and who would send it. So it would authorize me at the mental health center to send it to social services. And then there are all these boxes that you can check to talk about the kind of information that you would be willing to release. And we actually have to write in the dates here, because it may be that you only want them to know about the information we talked about today.
Okay.
It could be that if you decide to keep coming, you'd want them to know that information, so we get to decide that. You get to decide when it would expire. So it could be that you don't want me to talk to any social workers after next week or next year or whatever. And so you really get to decide on this release the kind of information you want them to have. So you want to go ahead and start there. It's not typically where we start, but it's kind of come up in the conversation, so why not do that?
Okay.
What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to just say that you authorize me. And I'll put with Chesterfield CSB. That's the building that you're in today.
Okay.
A lot of people don't hear CSB. They hear mental health. And the role or the program, I work for Substance Abuse Services, so is it okay if I write that in there?
Sure.
And then just for our address, I'll put C above.
Okay.
Because it's right up here. And then it would be released. Do you have a social worker's name?
I don't remember what
that name is. Would it be okay if I just put release to the Department of Social Services, knowing that nobody over there would probably know your case except for that social worker?
That would happen, right? Like, they would look it up so it doesn't just show up in somebody's random, like, pile?
Right. If you want, one thing that you could do is call over there and try to get the name of your caseworker. And I can write it on the release to make sure that that's the person I talked to. I could give you my card. You could call me back.
Okay.
Or use my phone before you leave.
Okay.
And then their address is this. I'll pull that in. Some of the stuff that you could check is just not going to apply. Like audiological. I'm not doing hearing tests on you and birth records. It sounds like your presence here might be something that you'd want to let them know.
Yeah,
just that
definitely.
You came. Okay. I checked the wrong one. Okay. This is going to be one question I'm going to need to ask you anyway, Karen. Would you want them to know if you're on any medications now, or is that something that you
I
want?
I don't think it's important.
Okay. Developmental and first, that'd be if you were a kid. Discharge summary, you might want to let them know, like, when your case is closed here, or when you're done here.
That's good.
Okay. Again, this is kind of personal HIV information. It might not be applicable or immunization, more for a kid. Your service plan, this is going to be up to you whether or not you want them to know that. What that would mean, Karen, is that if you kept coming here and you came up with a plan, like, I want to see Tammy Bays once a week to discuss A, B, or C, sometimes people want their social worker to know that. It's up to you whether or not you want them to know what you're working on here if you choose to stay.
Do they look at that, like, do they think it's a good thing if people keep coming, or do they think it means you have a big problem?
That's a great question. I hadn't thought that through. That's an interesting question. You're worried that if you keep coming that they're going to know, oh, look, this, she has a problem, she's
and they'll think, I know that, you know, that I'm, that I have a problem.
Okay.
That I'm telling myself I have a problem.
Well, I don't know how I can answer the question in terms of if it looks good or bad. What I would encourage you to do is do what's best for you. Easy for me to say because I'm not in your situation where someone's going to be looking at my records. It may not be something that you want to check. But, you know, if you'd want them to know your plan, then that's up to you. But again, just to kind of answer your question, I think that I would do what's good for you in terms of how it looks and what you need to do. If you come back for 5 sessions, maybe don't assume that they're going to think the worst. Again, though, I can't kind of control it.
Yeah, I think right now I don't want them to know.
I don't think a lot of these are going to be applicable. Now, this is probably the last one that we need to talk about. Well, there are two. If you were going to see a doctor here, and I know we haven't gotten to that point in the discussion, or if you're seeing a doctor, whether or not you would want them to know that information. A doctor meaning like a psychiatrist, a medical doctor, if you had something. And again, we haven't really talked about that, so I don't know if it's even applicable, but is that something that you'd want them to have knowledge of?
Only if, like, it shows that I am okay.
Okay.
Like, fit physically to take care of my family, and that there's nothing that's, you know, keeping me from doing all of it. To keep them safe and healthy, too.
That makes sense. Why don't we not check that now, then? Because we haven't decided whether or not you would see. This is the last thing that you kind of decide, Karen, about substance abuse assessments. That's sort of what I'm doing with you now. in fact, it's exactly what I'm doing with you now. So if I check this box, what that means is that they can have general information about sort of the stuff that we've discussed, and that's going to be up to you. It may be that you just want me to let them know that you came and that we met. It's up to you whether or not you would want them to have information about the kind of stuff that we talked about.
Maybe it would help me because they would know that I was being really upfront about it.
Okay.
Do you think they would?
I think that they would appreciate the information. I think that you need to do what's comfortable for you at this point. They may want more information. They may be okay with knowing that you came. My experience is that they want a little more information so that they can ensure that your kids are safe, which is exactly what you want to do, too. Show them.
Will they, like, come looking for that information if I don't release it?
I can't guarantee that. Maybe not. What they would probably do is come to you and just say, is it okay if we get this information?
Mm-hmm. Well, then I guess it would be easier to just do it now than wait for them to come
okay.
ask for it.
How about I check it, but know this. I want you to understand this part, too. You can revoke a release at any time.
Okay.
So just know that if you're feeling like this isn't information to share anymore, you can do that, okay? I have to put dates of treatment services. I noticed in your chart that you haven't been here before.
Mm-hmm.
So the beginning date I would put here is today. It's up to you about... whether you want me to release information that happens after today. What do you think about that?
I don't know what's going to happen after today.
True. Is down here, what we can do is keep this release open for up to a year. You may not want it to be that long. Some people do that just because it's easier and knowing that they can revoke it at any time. But it's sort of up to you to decide how long you would want this release to be. I don't think that you'll probably be coming here in a year that we'll be having contact, but, you know, some people do that just in case, and then if your case is closed, then this wouldn't be applicable anymore. I just need to put a date in, so it's really up to you.
I don't know, I want to give them whatever they need to, like, clear me so that they can leave me alone.
I hear
you.
I
don't know how long, do you know how long they usually ask for, or they want to get information for?
Sometimes our program, I don't know that you'll be in our program. This is a decision we'll make far later. But it can be a month, it can be 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. We could put an arbitrary date and then we could change it later.
I want it like 3 months.
That sounds great. So that would be 12-1-2, February 1st, 05. And then is it okay if I just close this immediately if they call me, or do you want...
Sure.
Okay. This authorization does or does not extend to dates after this form, meaning is it okay if I talk to them about things that happen after this day?
Yeah.
Okay. So all you would do is just sign here and date. I'm going to give you a copy of this.
My paper probably feels a lot different than when we're just kind of talking openly, so I hope you'll bear with it.
It's not fun
okay.
for me either. It kind of makes me feel like I'm back in school.
Whatever you need to do.
Okay. A few of the questions that I'm going to ask here are going to seem really personal really fast. So it's up to you, just tell me how comfortable you are sharing this information. One thing that I have to fill out is this admission form, and it goes into a database. It doesn't have your name attached to it. It's just we keep statistics on the kind of clients that we see because of the kind of funding that we get. So it's written in our computer, say, Karen has these things going on, but it goes into a general database of the kinds of clients that we see. So what would help me out is if you could list, and I know you gave this information to the person before, but I don't have access to that yet, so I'm sorry if this is a repeat. Okay. Out of every thing that you've used or tried, whether or not you've had a problem with it, what would you say would be like the thing you use the most, or the thing you've tried the most, or your drug of choice if you had to list them?
Mostly over the past few years it's been alcohol, but also have to run and drink.
Okay, so how did I list alcohol?
Okay.
How old were you the first time you drank, Karen?
I don't know, it was probably some high school party, I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I know. I'm asking you to go back, aren't I? And frequency of use in the past 30 days, like just in the past month in general, how much would you say you think? Some of the categories are like every day, a couple times a week, 3 to 6 times a week,
probably a couple times a week.
Okay. where would I look next? In terms of things you've tried or used?
Lately, it's been cocaine.
How about cocaine? Crack cocaine?
A little bit of both.
Okay. Okay.
Whatever's around.
How old were the first time you tried it, Karen?
I'm 28 now, so. 27?
Okay.
Yeah, last year.
And in the past 30 days, how often, again, just like with the alcohol, it's a couple times a week, every day?
Sometimes it's been 3 or 4 times a week, but usually 1 or 2.
Okay. Okay. And recently, you've been snorting and smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have to put a method here, sort of, how you use, that's why I'm asking. And the third thing, you mentioned marijuana, is that something that you've used as well?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something I would list, or would there be something else that maybe you try to use more?
No, that's something that's somebody usually has some.
Okay. How old were you the first time you used marijuana, roughly?
Mm-hmm. Probably
maybe 18. And in the past month, again, same kind of categories, you know, 1 to 3 times the past month, a couple times a week, 3 to 6 times daily?
Probably, I would say a couple times a week.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Is there anything else I should list? I have 3 boxes here, but I can certainly add some other things that you've used or tried. Or
I only tried ecstasy that one time.
Right.
But that's it.
Okay. How long ago was that?
Probably a couple of years ago.
All right. Again, these questions get really weird and really personal really fast, so bear with me and just answer what you feel comfortable answering. One of the questions is if you've ever been admitted to a drug or alcohol treatment program in the past. No. Okay. Have you ever been admitted to a hospital for mental health problems in the past?
No.
Okay. And were you referred by the court or ordered? Did they just sort of suggest that you come here?
I don't really know the difference.
Okay. One would be that you had like a copy of a court order that said from a judge that you have to come for this assessment. One would be that they strongly suggested that you come here and just sort of referred you. That can be confusing to figure out. So I'm one. You may not even know.
But they told me I had to.
Okay. Okay.
So
okay. These are, again, weird demographic questions, so bear with me. You can tell me it's none of your business, lady, and I'm cool with that, okay? Have you ever tested, you know the TB test at the beginning? Have you ever tested positive for TB? Have you ever been tested for HIV?
Yes.
Were you negative?
Yes.
And are you pregnant, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
You have 2 children, mm-hmm. under 18 when you have,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. And they're still living with you?
Yeah.
This is another personal question, so I apologize for it. It's another thing that we kind of keep track of. Has there been any domestic violence in your home as it is now?
No, there wasn't. Carlos was around, but
not since Carlos.
Okay.
Carlos has been gone for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
now. Sounds like you made a really good decision with that. It must have been hard, though.
I had to.
Yeah. And, okay, let's see. I only have a couple more questions here. Sorry. Again, this is personal. Feel free to share or just say something you wouldn't really want to discuss. One thing that they don't ask you when you first come in is if you've had any previous treatment, like a mental health diagnosis. Some people come in and they'll tell me they've been diagnosed with depression in the past or anxiety disorder or something. Has there been a past mental health diagnosis that you have from a previous treatment provider?
I was anorexic for a while.
Okay. When did you get treatment for that, Karen?
I guess I was like 15, 16.
You saw a counselor for a while, mm-hmm. or you went to a hospital?
I went to counselor for a while.
Do you remember who that was? I know that's been a while ago.
I think it was at school, actually. So I don't even remember. I think it was just the school person.
You say you're okay now. You're not having any symptoms.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think about being fat anymore, and I don't. To worry about like cutting my food into just so many pieces anymore.
Sounds like you struggled with that, but you really got through that.
Yeah.
That's impressive. It's a tough thing to deal with. I meet a lot of women,
mm-hmm.
who deal with that, and it's a big struggle. I'm impressed that you got help for it so young.
Well, my parents kind of made me for that scared. So I guess I should thank them for that.
Any other diagnoses I should know about? Mm-hmm. Any current medications that you're taking?
I'm on the pill.
Okay. Birth control. Yeah. No other medications. Mm-hmm. No prior hospitalization, you said. Mm-hmm. This is, again, another weird question. It's okay if you don't want to talk about it. I get some information from the first appointment you had, and anything that's rated over what we call a level 2 is something that we talk about. And one thing that you were rated high on was just depression or suicidal ideation. So I just wanted to, I do this with everybody, so don't take offense to it. I just want to make sure that you're not having any current thoughts of hurting yourself or, that, you know, just that safety isn't a concern for you right now.
I don't think so. I mean, I get overwhelmed sometimes, but I do.
Again, I know that's a weird thing to kind of bring up, not knowing me very well, but it's just something I want to check out. If you're here, I just, when you leave, I want to know that you're safe and you're okay. Okay. I think, let me see here. Are you employed right now, guys? You don't have to tell me where, but can you give me kind of an idea what you do? That was one of the questions on my
phone. Data entry stuff.
Okay. Are you working full time right now?
I temp, so okay. It's kind of like when I get to work, but I've been putting some good, like, long-term things.
Good for you.
Yeah, I went to high school.
It's one of those things.
You know, it pays the bills, I guess.
No kidding. It pays off in the end. And I'm going to get a lot of this information from the assessment that you did with the person you met with before me. But I'm wondering, again, this is personal, you can tell me, look, lady, none of your business, but I'm wondering if you've had any legal problems in the past, if you're on probation or anything like that. Sorry.
Okay.
And then the last thing is, you know, we ask you all these questions about your problems, but one thing I like to know, too, if I'm going to help you, whether you stay or not, is to know some good things about you. You know, when people are referred here, we ask you a million questions about things that might be going on, but equally important is what your strengths are. And so what do people say is good about you? What are your strengths? What are you good at? What do you like?
I like to organize stuff. And like in my temp job, sometimes they have me do things with their filing and stuff like that. I wish I was organized.
I'm so impressed. You like to organize things.
Yeah.
So you're in the right profession,
I guess.
What else?
I like to sing songs with my girls.
Another thing I can't do. I'm really impressed today.
I like to get them, you know, those like CDs for kids.
They're so cute.
They learn songs and, you know, we sing them all.
Uh-huh.
Have a good time.
Sounds like you like to spend a lot of time with your girls.
We have a good time. We're all buddies.
What else? What would other people say is good about you, Karen, or what you're good at?
I like to help people. If I can.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't know. Hopefully my kids
will
come for something.
I'll bet they would. I have an idea, but I'll bet we'd have a whole mommy list of strengths.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Tell me, this is a weird question, and people are always like, what do you mean? But what are your needs? Like, do you have any, not just treatment needs, like needs from a counselor, but are there some things that coming to an agency like this, you might think, wow, this might be a need that I have. And you have none, I'm not sure, but.
I need more time, but.
Don't we all? I'm going to write
more time
then. Okay.
You know, it's like there are only so many hours in the day to balance everything.
It's a single mom for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's like work and come home and do like house stuff, and it's hard waiting time.
Dinner at home.
And, you know, it's like, you know, that's kind of a bug.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Just. Did transportation here?
I took the bus.
Okay. Again, we're not at the point to kind of decide what you'd be doing after this, but just know that we offer some transportation, so that might be a way that we can help you. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a car, then I'd have to pay for it.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, I need a car, but I need the money for the car.
Right. So you're going to. Yeah. Someone magically handed you a car right now.
Yeah,
just all the expenses would be all
I need to pay for insurance and gas.
What about your abilities, Karen? I know that you're good at temp work and that you're very organized. What else could I put down? It could be work abilities. It could also be hobbies. It could be anything.
I guess I'm pretty good with people.
Good with people.
It's because the entry jobs are also receptionists. I've gotten a few of those.
Okay. Okay. Good with people. And this may be a hard question to answer now because we're really not there. But and maybe I'll wait. Maybe I'll wait till we get there. But it talks about preferences. Meaning, some people when they come in know, look, my preference is that no matter what, I would want to see a woman counselor. My preference is that I would, you know, want to come to individual counseling and no groups, or, you know, and we may not be there yet, but I didn't know if you might have any kind of preferences in terms of that.
Well, I would only want to be in a group if it was people like me and I didn't know any of them.
Okay, okay. So anonymity is really important to you.
Yeah, it's really important.
I understand. Okay, well, I've done tons of this paperwork and I know you're probably sick about that, but it's important for me, so I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
Now, I'm going to kind of transition again. This is sort of, you know, it's sort of a three-phase process when you're coming here. The first phase is just for me to get to know you. I know nothing about you, and you really helped me with that. The second phase, which we just did, is to get all that agency paperwork done and just kind of get the nuts and bolts of what I need to be done. So I appreciate you doing that. The third thing I really want to do is just kind of better understand what you hope to achieve here. I know that you've been referred here by social services. Part of you thinks, look, they're really exaggerating here, this isn't a problem, I'll call you a little, no big deal. But there's part of you, at least in the beginning, that was really honest, and I appreciated that, that said, you know, is this something I'm going to have to worry about later? I don't want to get to a point where I have to. And so what I thought we might be able to focus on is just kind of better understand that part, if that's okay with you, and just kind of be more open-ended again and more informal. I'm wondering, like on a scale of 1 to 10, just hypothetically, 1 being, this is not important at all, not at all, 10 being, this is something that's so important, I want to just work on it, talk about it today. How important is it to kind of take a look at your cocaine use, or your partying, the stuff that they sort of refer to?
A 5.
A 5. I'm going to write that on my sheet here. What made you pick a 5?
Because it's, I mean, the 5 is in the middle.
Okay.
And, you know, it's something that I know is important to talk about, but I think that I have, like, a healthy perspective on it.
Okay. 5 sounds like a perfect number for where you are right now. It's important, but on the other hand, why are they so worried about it? Okay, okay. I'm wondering what might make you get to a 6 or 7. Is there anything that you can imagine happening, just sort of hypothetically, that might get you to a 6 or 7, that might make you a little more concerned?
Maybe somebody, like, from the school found out, and or knew somebody at the party who saw me there. If somebody found out and it got back to people, like teachers, then I'd have more people to explain it to.
One thing that might worry you more and make it more important to you to take a look at is if more people were concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Kind of on a similar note, how ready are you at this point? And you can be completely honest, how ready would you say you are to kind of talk some more about your cocaine use and any fears that you might have about it? Again, same scale, 1 to 10. Not just how important is it, but if you had to pick how ready you are right now and to commit to talking about something like that, what do you think?
Probably 4.
A little less. What made you pick a 4?
Because I don't really understand, like, why I like it.
Okay.
And I don't understand why I like it more than other things.
Just one reason why you might be ready to talk about this, and that is that I just don't get why this is so important to me, or why I like this so much. Okay? But you didn't pick a 1.
I know it's important. I mean, this is the thing that I guess made people, I don't know, I mean, this is the thing that makes me worry, I guess.
I knew it made people worry. I guess I didn't know that it made you worry so much. Tell me what you mean.
I don't want to think that I can't stop anytime. And I don't think that's a problem right now. But I know some people get there.
You know what I like? I like what you're saying. You're saying, look, I disagree. I don't think that this is a big problem for me. What I like is that your perspective is very future-oriented. You think of your girl's future, your relationship future, your future with your mom, and your future with this too. And you're saying, okay, look, you people are wrong, but maybe because I like this so much, I need to take a look at it. I like that.
I have a lot of life ahead of me. I don't want to mess it up.
Absolutely. You're 28. Whole life ahead of you, and your girls are young. And yeah, I like that. Last sort of question along this line. I asked you what might make it more important to you. Same kind of thing. What might make you pick higher than a 4? What might make you more ready to look at it?
If I thought about doing it at work, or if I thought about doing it when I was with my kids, which I don't do.
I hear you. You're not doing that now. It's really contained now. It's happening at a time that you're not with your kids.
It's when I'm there. It's when it's there.
You would recognize it as a problem right away if you...